And, Mr. President, I also want to talk about very important aviation legislation that we were able to include as part of the larger omnibus package that is moving through the House, as I said, tonight. It's so important that we make safety a number one priority in the United States. If we want to be number one in aviation, you have to be number one in aviation safety. And Chairman Wicker and I worked with our colleagues on both sides of the aisle to produce important legislation that improves the safety reforms needed at the FAA, the safety reforms of oversight of manufacturing and the certification process, and reforms that will help us here in Congress better stay on top of the information as far as the certification process. This is so critical after the crashes of Lion Air 610 and Ethiopian Flight 302, both involving Boeing 737 MAX aircrafts and the loss of 346 lives. I can never say how painful this incident has been for those families. I can never say how much they have suffered in this horrific tragedy that has befell them. But I know that these reforms are what are needed, and their help and support in passing this legislation has been critical. I want to thank all of the families who helped us in communicating why these safety reforms are important. But I want to thank particularly Michael Stumo and his wife, Nadia Milleron, who lost their daughter, Samia Stumo, in the Ethiopian air crash, and to let them know that even though we're putting a big down payment on safety reforms in the United States Congress by passing this legislation, this process does not stop with the passage of this legislation. We need to continue to do more to improve aviation safety and to continue to act even on a global basis to be leaders, the United States leading away on what aviation safety needs to be. I also want to thank our staff, Doug Anderson, Ronce Allman, David Martin, Lawrence Wildgoose, Jonathan Hale, Melissa Porter, and David Strickland for their work. And on the other side of the aisle, Mike Reynolds, James Mazel, Simone Perez, Mary Asa England, and John Keast. Many members participated in the formation of this legislation. I want to thank Senator Duckworth for her work with us on the NTSB recommendations and flight deck alert system that were part of this package of bills to reform the FAA and the FAA process. I want to thank Senator Moran for his focus on helping us build those standards that we're talking about as far as the FAA going to ICAO and saying these are the continued standards for improvement in aviation safety. I want to thank Senator Blunt for his leadership on the Air Grant program, a very important program that we think will help build up the expertise and knowledge of very, very technical subject certification for people here throughout the process of oversight and legislating and the executive branch. And I want to thank Senators Cruz and Blumenthal for working on such critical elements in the legislation as to how the certification process itself works and what we needed to do to continue to bolster it. So tonight we're sitting one step closer to reforms that really will be meaningful. It will return the FAA to being in charge of what are the oversight members at manufacturers who are doing the work of a certification process. It is clear the individuals a part of this unit report to the FAA. They are supervised by the FAA. You no longer can have incentives at the FAA for expediting work. You basically now have a new whistleblower protection, thanks to my colleague Senator Wicker and his incredible work on this legislation. You have better accountability on misconduct. You create new safety reporting standards for the FAA employees. We repeal authorities that would permit a certification by industry, that industry could continue to make recommendations about the certification process is something in specific provisions that are repealed here. And We also prohibit interference with FAA designees. That is, no one can try to influence a manager or someone directly involved in the certification of the process. We also tried to make sure the process itself worked better. And again, many of my colleagues played critical roles in this. Required a safety system analysis on any plane coming through the process, whether it was new or a derivative. You still have to do a safety system analysis. You have to have regulations that are the most up-to-date as it relates to making sure you comply, as we said in this legislation, with the NTSB recommendations on flight crew alert systems, and to mandate a safety management system for manufacturers. This is something that is long overdue, and in some instances people said, oh, the OMB and executive branch don't think we need to do these things. Oh, these things are cost prohibitive. You know, these are regulations we don't need to put in place. Trust me, having a safety management system is essential, and we should make sure that this is in place as this legislation requires within the next few years. This legislation also requires disclosure of safety critical information. This was something, as I said, our colleague Senator Blumenthal and Cruz and many others worked on as parts of this legislation. It also provides expert teams of panels at the beginning of any kind of certification process. The FAA will be assisted by the best experts in aviation, whether they come from NASA or the Air Force or outside individuals who understand the latest and greatest technology. Why do we have that? Because we know that we are in an era of unbelievable technological change in which now the human interface with technology is so critical. Whether you're going to be in driverless cars, or whether you're Amtrak with positive train control, or you're the flight deck of an airplane and the software that's working with it, we need to understand how people are going to respond to human factors. That is, it's, you know, we all get frustrated with our own computers and our own software, but we need to put safety first when it comes to a pilot interacting with that software in the cockpit of an airplane. It also helps us make sure that the process for the certification appeals are strengthened, and to make a new process for that we tighten the process. We need to listen to the engineers on the ground. The engineers are telling us what we need to do, and we need to listen to them. I hope that the leaders both within manufacturing and the FAA will do that. As I mentioned, this legislation establishes a national air grant program. Some of you can think of it here on Capitol Hill as similar to the Sea Grant program, a program that was long established to give us technical expertise on ocean and maritime issues here in Congress. We want the same thing for aviation to exist. It's too important of a sector, and safety is too important to not have a technical skill set here that can stay on top and replace individuals as retirements happen throughout the aviation system. It requires disclosure to Congress of post-crash assessments. That is, if the FAA goes and investigates a crash, you have to at least notify Congress of that information. Why? We want to stay more on top of that information. It requires an identification of safety trends. I have no doubt we're going to hear when it comes back, as these annual reports, or at least for the next several years, we're going to hear that this issue of human interaction in a technology cockpit is going to continue to be the largest safety trend issue, just as it is going to be in the automotive area and just as it is going to be in transportation. So, Mr. President, those are just some of the highlights of a very comprehensive safety reform legislation. I want to thank my colleague, Senator Wicker, for his help, his leadership, his most recent report on whistleblower activity, and helping us get this legislation over the goal line. I also, as I said, want to thank, again, those families. Our hearts and sympathies are still every day with you as you continue to face moving forward. We are not going to forget. We are going to continue to put safety as the biggest priority for us here in the United States Congress and continue to move forward on a process that puts the individual engineers on the line responsible for safety to make sure everyone continues to listen to their directives and their recommendations. Thank you, Mr. President, and I yield the floor.